Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this offensive line for the Houston Texans. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio, as he is wont to do, jumped on with Payne and Pendergast this morning, 7:15 a.m. Bright and early to talk some football. Talk a little bit about the Texans as they've concluded mandatory minicamp, and now they are in that nebulous time period where you get a little bit of time to rest and get yourself ready for, you know, the run of the season, run up to the season, and then the run of the season. Unfortunately, he's got a little work to do right now in finding out about a situation that's happening out there in Montgomery County with Jimmy Ward, which, real quick, a little quick detour. Kix Rocks on the YouTube page. You're doing a little bit much on the talking about. Kix Rocks said, I don't know if Jimmy Ward was even going to make the team with the two rookies they drafted and also the addition of C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring that down a little bit. I feel like you were doing a lot. I feel like Jimmy Ward was going to make the team, even though, I mean, because of the versatility.
It was a competition. I mean, it was a conversation when they brought G.J. in, though. Like,
What does he ultimately become? But I don't know that it was like, yo, he's not going to make the team. But we'll see what happens with the news that we're, you know, that is developing today when it comes to his arrest earlier this morning. But I did want to start again. The offensive line, though, is the part that I wanted to talk about, because that was one of a few things that that Nick Caserio talked about with Sean and Seth. And let's start with the center. That's one of those positions that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I know Seth has kind of been really interested in that particular competition, and you seem to feel like there's not much of one there, right?
Yeah, I'm on the other side of Seth. He was speaking last week, I believe, about, you know, maybe interested in the rotation,
sure,
and how it plays out at the center position. I'm like, I can tell you who the starting center is going to be.
Well,
I can tell you who that's going to be.
I think Sean asked Nick Caserio about that. Seems like Jake Andrews is leader in the clubhouse for that position. Can you give us a little bit more information on that, Nick Caserio?
You guys were here for a handful of days. I think they were open, and I think, honestly, we rolled a lot of guys through during the course of the spring. I mean, we had 8 practices. I'd say each practice is probably a little bit different. So we'll roll a lot of guys through there. I'd say we have a lot of players that have experience putting their hand on the ball. So, Jake has experience, I would say, in the system, going back to New England, even though it was different. I mean, there's some elements that carry over. JP's done a good job for us, and Juice has played well with his opportunities. Juice kind of has a little bit of flexibility, kind of center guard. He started games at center for us. He started games at guard for us and provided a good level of play. There's probably a likelihood you're going to need 2 or 3 centers. I mean, you just look at our experience. My experience is at some point you're going to need somebody. Something's going to happen, and you're going to need multiple players that, you know, can play center. So, but overall, that group has done a pretty good job. We have 15 or 16, however many offensive linemen we have on the roster. And other than Trent, everybody has been out there essentially working, you know, which is good to see. So we think it'll be really good competition. Got competition inside. We have competition on the perimeter at tackle as well. Figure out. We know we're going to have 8 at the game each week, because you get the extra linemen. So we got 8. How many we carry on the roster? You know, where's our depth? I mean, those are things that we'll kind of let the competition sort itself out. But You know, Jake was a player coming out. You know, we had decent grades on him when he was coming out of Troy. He has experience with Coach Popovich. I mean, Coach Cole was the offensive coordinator at Troy that last year there when Jake, you know, was a center. So, you know, there's some, I would say, experience with one another. It doesn't necessarily guarantee or mean anything. And it's a lot of it just kind of getting Jake up to speed here a little bit. So, but it's been a good group. And that group, I mean, like the team collectively has put in a lot of good work throughout the course of the spring. And excited to see the competition sort itself out here in training camp.
Yeah, I can tell you how the competition is going to sort itself out.
You feel that confident,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's piece this all together now. Let's put the puzzle pieces together. Coached by the offensive line coach at Troy, played in New England. They brought him in, you know, obviously there's an affinity there to play center. Probably the most proven center on the roster. I mean, just put the puzzle pieces together. You know, obviously the quarterback is going to be, you know, much more involved in what is going on the field in terms of calls and blocking assignments. Who better to help him than a guy that has experience with this? And look, I'm not saying they're not going to compete. And if somebody beats him, you know,
Out. Much more experience. He has one season of experience playing center in New England.
But he was brought in and he was coached by Popovich at Troy.
Sure. No, yeah, I think I'm not denying that. But I also want to be careful about, like, much more experience seems to paint a picture that's I don't think is completely accurate.
Well, in this offense, much more experience.
Okay, all right. Yes. There's the caveat that brings you back into the line.
And much more experience. The point stands, and I stand by it.
Okay.
Jake Andrews is going to be the starting center of this team.
I mean,
oh, and by the way, look at the rotations in OTAs and minicamp.
Right, and to be fair, I mean, that is what we saw. I don't know if that rotation continued out of our sight when they had, I guess, practices that were closed to the media. Of course, again, that's one of those things that I don't think I will have any level of good insight unless somebody out and out tells us about it. But he did, Nick Cassero did go out of his way to make the point, though, that you're going to need more than one center.
Yeah.
And he almost seemed to, like, kind of point to the idea of the fortune or what have you of the Texans with injuries. And maybe that's the fortune or just the nature of football that injuries are going to happen. But he's like, yeah, you're probably going to need more than one center, seemingly leaving the door open for the idea of, hey, we still want to have the competition and see who we feel comfortable with. But I don't disagree, though, that there's a lot of guys. There's been a lot of Jake Andrews kind of situation here where he's been pretty constantly in that first team situation, and it does feel like he's going to be your center. But I do wonder how much does that experience in the system matter to you when it feels like CJ Stroud is taking up more and more of the mantle when it comes to some of the things that we would think of fall on the table of the center that has experience.
I think it takes a lot because even though CJ Stroud is making those calls, first of all, in the huddle and otherwise in the meetings, et cetera, you have a center who has done that. And secondly, the main communication that CJ Stroud has is, you know, at the line of scrimmage is with the center. You know, the center and the quarterback are the ones that are sort of making all the calls and we've seen it pointing out everybody, et cetera. So yeah, I think it matters that he's going to be, you know, there with CJ Stroud.
All right. So, but if we are right in our assumption that, okay, it feels like Jake Andrews is the center, what does that mean for the likes of these other cats? Because I know Drew Scruggs, we probably look at it and he's played guard. I think that, you know, Nick Cassero mentioned it. He's played guard for this team before. However, it feels like, you know, they're kind of building a little bit of an MO when it comes to size on the offensive line. I'll get to that audio here in a moment. But then also, like, he's been standing around a little bit, of course, again, with the caveat, mandatory mini camp, OTAs. Those are not fully indicative of everything, and the training camp is a much more robust sample when you actually have pads and will determine more of what's happening here. You're not winning the job in mini camp is a quote from D'Amico Ryans. But I'm starting to look at it and go, what place does Drew Scruggs have especially if Jarrett Patterson ends up being kind of the secondary guy that you look at center?
Yeah, you mentioned Jarrett Patterson. To me, that's where it gets interesting. He mentioned JP, as he called him, you know, at the center position as well. I think it's worth monitoring. I'm not saying, no, you know, Drew Scruggs is going to be cut or anything. A second round pick in 2023. I mean, but you know, where's he going to play?
You also have 17 dudes, right?
Yeah, and like, you got a bunch of dudes. Yeah.
I mean, and that's part of the idea of having the competition and maybe not a lot of area for distinction between one guy from the next is that everybody's in competition to start, but in an odd way, that does kind of put a lot more people in contention to be, you know, out of sight on the roster.
Yeah.
Talk less of something else, right? So I'm very intrigued, not just obviously with that, but also what Nick Caserio there says kind of has a feel, because he tried to, in a way, did it feel like he was talking out of both sides of his mouth with the Jake Andrews thing? Because he did highlight all the reasons why he has like a level of connective tissue to what they're doing, but also was like, yeah, but you know, competition.
Kept saying competition. Well, I mean, but that's a go-to.
Fair.
You know, that's a go-to for every team in the league. You know, you got to be competing and all that. And I'm, by the way, I wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, you can't just anoint. I'm just saying
No. All
signs point to he's going
to
be the guy.
Certainly. So yeah. I mean, that's to me remains to be seen once we get to a training camp situation. But also, offensive line in general. I thought this. I was very intrigued by this answer that was thrown out there from Nick Caserio by this question from Seth, where he was, you know, he mentioned that you start looking at similarities with any group of things as a human is want to do. When you look at this offensive line, you go, dang, he's big. Hey, he's big too. Wait, hold on. That guy's big as well? And then you drafted Ariante Arcery. All right, so there's a lot of tall guys, including a Trent Brown, who's not even getting work right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Caserio, was that intentional, or did you kind of just stumble upon that, brother?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I don't think it's, well, we're going to get, you know, a bunch of guys that are, you know, 6'12 into the building. So, but, you know, at some point, you know, length is a component. I know there's a lot of discussion at length. Well, he's got short arms or he's not tall enough. I mean, Matt Light was 6'4.5 at 32-inch arms and played left tackle at a high level for 10, 11 years or whatever it was. So it's all what they do with their size. Like, do they play to their size? Do they use their length to their advantage? So, you know, you might have undersized guys who, you know, are good football players. I mean, you look at a guy like Shaq Mason. I mean, he's 6'1", 6'1.5", and, you know, Shaq played a lot of good football for a number of years. So, in the end, it's about your technique. It's about your fundamentals. And I would say bigger players, taller players, you got to make sure that your weight's distributed properly, that you play with good body position, you play with good knee bend, because in the end, those are the things that are going to be relevant. And if you have a little bit of extra length, you know, again, think about this. You're blocking Danielle Hunter, who's 6'5.5", that's got 35-inch arms, who can threaten the edge. So if you have a little bit of extra length that can hold them off for maybe a split second, maybe that makes a difference. But I would say, you know, Rashawn Slater, I mean, he's not the tallest left tackle, but, I mean, the guy's like one of the best tackles in the league. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's always case by case there a little bit. But to your question, it wasn't, well, we need to get longer and we need to get necessarily bigger. It's just kind of, I'd say, how it happened to work itself out more than anything.
That was an interesting answer, wasn't it? Because he gave some great examples of guys. Well, you know, the outliers. You don't have to be monsters, you know, height-wise and all that. But he also kind of said, you know, at the same time, you're working up against a guy with 35-inch arms, it's nice to have. So I think it was just maybe not, as he put it, intentional, but certainly one of the things that they focus on.
But,
you know,
the thing that I then ask is, if that was not intentional, right? If the size was not a portion of this, we're simply working off the idea that these guys have starting experience and that's the only deciding, or that's the largest deciding factor in getting these guys out here? Because it would actually make me feel a lot better if it's like, hey, these guys fit when it comes to like size, what we think we're going to be doing with this offense, and they have starting experience. And that would actually be a much easier sell for me personally. Not that they're trying to sell this to me as they do this, but that would be a much easier sell than just, oh, well, we happen to end up looking big.
No, yeah. I think it might be like a tiebreaker. You know, they have guys that they are familiar with and want to bring in or draft or whatever. And they check all the boxes as they always do, before bringing in a player. But boy, you know, maybe the tiebreaker is, well, he is, as he put it, 6'12".
6'8", I think. I think that's what's officially listed as.
but I think it's kind of like a tiebreaker. I think what it does say is it wasn't intentional, but this offense tends to thrive with those big dudes. You know, just because of the physics involved, if you're going to be power, you know?
Well, I mean, and again, that's one of those things where you start looking in. Mm-hmm. There's still something to be said for what the guys are able to grasp, what they're able to actually effectively run. But again, it's continuing to push towards this generally gap scheme, maybe more power type offense that it seems like the Texans could be moving toward. On the text line, people were talking about the idea of word on the street is Jake Andrews might be better at blocking the run. All of these things we're going to have to get an opportunity to see during training camp. I think that's where we find out what this is the case. I mean, if that's the case, like, are you looking towards a guy who's just better at the run as being your primary factor on who maintains some of these jobs, particularly on the offensive line?
Well, look, when you start looking at kind of the makeup of the offensive line, they all tend to share certain qualities, and one of those qualities is guys that can run block. Yeah, not I mean, everybody thinks they can run block. We know that's not true from experience last year, but they might have different levels of confidence that you have in them. I know you're not real confident in Trent Brown. I don't know how confident I am. I just feel like that's the guy that they brought in. Same thing with Jake Andrews. Titus Howard has been pretty good, you know, at guard position blocking. So, I think that's absolutely the priority, is to be able to do that.
Yeah. All right. So a lot of things that Nick Caserio talked about in line with all of those things as well. But, yeah, I found the offensive line stuff to be kind of interesting within that, especially there. You always re-listen to that one. 7:15 is when it came through. Nick Caserio talked with the fellas on Payne and Pendergast this morning. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Man, like, there's people that are already getting to that place with Jimmy Ward where they're like bye-bye of sorts. And, I mean, we started kind of chopping it up a little bit, the idea of what this defense looks like without Jimmy Ward, if that was to be the case. Again, not trying to report anything or, you know, kind of put anything out there. But the idea of him not, you know, maybe not playing special teams or what have you, like making him some level of expendable here. I saw someone mention on the text line the idea of Kamari Lassiter in a pinch sliding in and playing nickel. And, I mean, he did that. But I think, again, this highlights where depth in the defensive back room becomes even more of a priority again, just like it was last year, because, you are one inopportune injury away from this all being kind of problematic, right? Yeah. You slide Kamari Lassiter in, and then who do you have on the perimeter with running back or with cornerback three? Are you back in a place where you're putting D'Angelo Russell out there? What does Tremont Smith still have for you in a cornerback, dynamic? Those are all questions that I think that immediately jump back up, especially once Ronald Darby retired, but now even more so that you have potential for legal trouble on the horizon for Jimmy Ward.
You said it earlier to me, you know, yeah, maybe Lassiter could slide in, but that's why you have the priority at the other spot, you know, at the other cornerback spot that you need to bring in. I mean, it's an important thing. It's not, oh my gosh, sky is falling, but now safety and cornerback, you're going to have to start looking at.
Yeah, and I mean, I imagine Nick Caserio probably already looking towards that.
Sure,
not necessarily that he has to, but I mean, hey, look, you want to have contingencies, and this is early on, day one of this kind of time period without actually having football activities for the Texans. There's already kind of this fly in the ointment of sorts with the news that Jimmy Ward was arrested earlier this morning. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is the time where we typically do our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic, and we will do that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Joan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.